Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. WBUR's senior political reporter Anthony Brooks is here in the studio. Welcome back, Anthony.
Hey, good to be here, Tiziana.
So Anthony has the results of a new WBUR poll that digs into the issues that matter the most to voters heading into the 2020 presidential election. Anthony, tell us about the poll. What was BUR trying to find out?
Okay, well, basically, what we're trying to find out is what do voters want the candidates to be talking about. But let me back up a little bit, because the idea behind this poll came from Jay Rosen, professor of journalism at New York University, who's been a longtime sort of follower, studier, blogging about and often criticizing political journalism in this country. And his biggest beef, one that many of us share, by the way, is that too much of our political coverage is what we call horse race journalism. It's obsessed with the polls, who's ahead, who's behind, with the political pundits, with the so-called political experts. And there is a lot of this kind of coverage because it's easy to do. You know, you commission a poll, you talk to some experts, report on it, wash, rinse, repeat. And there's a place for that, Tiziana, and we can talk about that. And we certainly do it too. I mean, WBUR has a great relationship with a fabulous pollster named Steve Cazella, who did this poll. But the idea here is that Jay Rosen from NYU, says what we need more of is election coverage that springs from what matters most to voters. And so he calls for something that he calls the citizen's agenda. Here's what he says.
And the citizen's agenda is an attempt to reposition election coverage closer to the concerns of the average voter.
So that's what led us to take on this project and this particular poll, which we can talk about.
So let's dig a little into it. What is the citizen's agenda based on this poll?
Yeah, right. So healthcare. It comes down to healthcare and a whole bunch of other issues. But basically, healthcare was the top issue picked by 63% of voters overall, 70% of self-identified Democrats. So you can see why it's a key issue in the Democratic primary. And by the way, this was a poll of about 600 or so voters in the WBUR listening area, eastern Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire. The other issues that were cited by majorities of the region's voters: jobs and wages and the economy, immigration, Social Security and Medicare. And then there was sort of a third tier of issues, climate change and gun policy. So those are some of the issues. So these are issues that we're hearing a lot about on the campaign trail, which I found somewhat encouraging. But there were also some interesting distinctions in the polling among who wants what and who favors what.
So listeners, you just heard the list from Anthony from the poll. What about you? What issues are most important to you as we enter the 2020 season in earnest? Are politicians and media talking about the issues enough? Are you hearing what you want to hear? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. I'm going to add another voice in just a second. But before I do, Anthony, the other question I have is, what about the Republican side, the Democrat side? Did we see party differences?
Yeah, we really did. It's interesting because when we talked to Democrats and asked, and by the way, we did this poll in sort of two ways. The poll asked an open-ended question, and basically the open-ended question was, what do you want the candidates for president to be discussing as they compete for your votes? The other way we asked them was we asked them to choose from a list of issues: healthcare, climate change, gun policy, immigration, and so on. And so from those responses, we were able to put these answers together. So Democrats, as we said, they sort of chose an array of issues with healthcare at the top, but then came jobs and the economy, immigration, climate change, guns, defeating Trump. These are all sort of what issues that the Democrats care about. Republicans, by contrast, 50% or more of Republicans selected just two issues, immigration and jobs, wages, and the economy. And if you think about that, it makes a lot of sense because, of course, these are the issues that Donald Trump spends most of his time talking about.
Yeah.
And frankly, ran for president on. I mean, immigration, we all know his hardline policies. And, he's hopeful that a strong economy is going to be his ticket to reelection. So these are the two issues that Republicans are spending a lot of time focusing on.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you want to join the conversation. And I do want to have someone else join the conversation. Tito Jackson, he's the CEO of Verdant Medical, a Massachusetts medical and recreational cannabis company. He's also a former Boston city councilor, and he ran for mayor in 2017. Tito, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So what were your reactions to the poll results?
So I think it's quite interesting. I think I agree that the press often overlooks very good candidates. I won't speak about any of my aspirations in the past, but
present company excluded, right, Tito?
And they exclude them based on things like money, right? So that's one of the interesting pieces, that there are consistent and constant stories that seek to categorize people not based on their ideas or the qualitative measures that are out there, but that are based on the money. I also think oftentimes the press is smitten by controversy over substance. Right. So,
what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Or and a quip over quality. Right. So if you can zing somebody in a debate, distracting from, in certain cases, an individual's own shortcomings, you have an opportunity to kind of shift things. But I think Trump's messaging is obviously working. Right. So
you have that title line, man.
Yeah. So you have immigration and jobs at the top. And much of this is Trump created crisis.
Yeah.
Right. So his policies actually, in terms of the framing, allows for him and his followers to actually stay in line.
Anthony, you wanted to react to
something.
Well,
it's just interesting. I mean, I really appreciate some of Tito's concerns about political coverage in general. And I want to read a letter that we actually received in response to the poll we did this morning from a listener. It's just the kind of response we were hoping to get. And so I'll just read it, and then we can talk about it. I'm just going to read part of it. Dear WBUR, I was excited to hear that you'll be trying to report on what its listeners want to know about the candidates and not just reporting on the horse race, a term I've been using to criticize political reporting. A lot of people don't really tune in to who's running and what they're espousing until well into the campaign, and so they need to learn about their platforms, not just who is up or down in the polls. I know that political reporters are paying attention from the get-go, so they know where each candidate stands. So to them, the horse race maybe is the most interesting thing to report, but we, just the tuning in public, or the just tuning in public, want to learn more about the candidates' platforms. So I think that's sort of a key point that we're trying to absorb here. It's not that we're going to sort of change the way we do our job dramatically, but it's trying to keep in the front of our minds, what do the listeners want to hear out there? What do they care about? And I think Tito put his finger on something. They care about a bunch of issues that we may not be reporting. So just one more thing from this letter. By the way, I should say who wrote it. Nanny Almquist. One more thing. Last week, I heard a long interview with Andrew Yang. I wasn't even aware of his name, let alone his platform, and I was fascinated and hopeful. I want to hear more from him. His ideas are a radical departure, but maybe they might work to help this nation if they get covered and implemented. So that's the point.
So let's add a couple of caller voices to that, and then Tito, I'll give you a chance to respond. John from Franklin, you're on the line. What do you want to share?
What I want to talk about is the fact that I want a candidate who acknowledges that the system in its entirety is rigged against working class people and is rigged in favor of wealthy people. And you can give working class people education, you can give them job skills, you can give them jobs, but it's not going to change the fact that they're still going to be struggling week to week to live paycheck to paycheck.
Thanks for that, John. I'm going to add Peter from Warren to that, too. Peter, go ahead.
Yes, I think that it's kind of a twofold thing. My two big ones are climate change and then here inequality and treatment almost historically of the poor. And the big thing there is that as climate change, which is very real, is going to come down on us in all sorts of ways, poor people are going to be the most affected. And I really wish people would talk more about the connectivity of that and how do we deal with it and how do our grandchildren deal with it? We'll be gone, people like myself, but what about them?
Thanks, Peter. So, Tito, you know, we've got a rigged system, income inequality, climate change. Do we have candidates addressing these issues? Are these the key issues you've been hearing?
No, I definitely think we have candidates who are addressing the issues. You have candidates who have plans. As you hear Elizabeth Warren every day speaking about another plan, I think it's really important that we peel back what these plans actually mean. But also, I think we need to dig down. When we say these issues, I think when we say jobs, wages, and the economy, right? So we have essentially full employment, but a lot of people work for Uber. A lot of people work for Lyft. So you have folks who are underemployed who are working their butts off on a day-to-day basis. So they technically have a job. But if they were to lose, and there was a recent study that said, hey, you know, if when we look at emergency funds, folks don't have $400 to have something bad actually happen to them. So I think there's another layer of peeling back when we categorize these things in that space. I think the one other piece is looking at people who are voting outside of their interest. Right, I think that's a really interesting component.
And you think people do that? You think people vote outside their interests?
Many of the states, you know, when we're looking at, you know, some of the folks in pivotal states like Pennsylvania, like Florida, Ohio, Colorado, you're looking at folk who are being affected by the relationship of the United States, Trump, and China.
Mm-hmm.
Folks whose earnings futures, the gentleman was nice enough to bring up people's grandchildren, there are farmers who and coal miners and folks who thought Trump was on their side, but they are really being bandied about in this space.
So we've got a caller, 1-800-423-8255, to join the conversation. Mohammed from Worcester, I think you have some thought about this voting for or against your own interests. Go ahead.
Yeah, in some sense. My biggest thing is I want to talk about the candidates themselves. I'm talking about Democratic candidates. They really get too much into the detail. They're unable to articulate clearly their views. And I'm talking about, for example, when it comes to immigration, they took a position that's indefensible about giving illegal immigrants, you know, health care. They can't even support the current system. All they got to do is support the system. You know, secondly, you look at how they're not even supporting labor. These are things that can help a lot of the issues that are happening today. But I am worried because the candidates, and these are politicians that have been in politics for so long, can't even articulate these issues in a very convincing way without having to put out a slide, you know, in real people terms.
Okay, thanks for that, Mohammed. We're going to add one more. Jack from Framingham, you go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I want to say two things. First of all, this is not normal times. So for me, the number one policy is who's the best to defeat Donald Trump. And the fifth most important policy is who's the best to defeat Donald Trump. It's not normal times. But my other point is that a pretty wise person, I'm too bad I can't quote it, but I wrote down the quote. He says, if you look at the presidential election, we're not talking about congressional Senate, presidential election is determined when the person goes into the ballot box, either who's my guy, or do I hate the other guy enough? Not so I'll vote for, you know, the first person. 15% of people hated Hillary. They hated her. That's why they voted for Trump. 35%, he was their guy.
All right, let's pick it up from there, Jack. Thanks. So Anthony's nodding. And
yeah, there's just an interesting detail. This is one of the things that surprised me about this poll, and that is the Democrats' attitude toward how the candidates should take on Donald Trump. And this really surprised me. It's one of the most interesting things. So this idea, should candidates deal with Trump, talk about him all the time, represent themselves as the alternative to Trump, sort of like Joe Biden does, let's say, as an example, or should they more or less ignore Trump and really talk about their own vision and give the voters a sort of affirmative vision to vote for, more in line with what Elizabeth Warren's doing? So on the open-ended question in our poll, when we just sort of said, what do you want the candidates to be talking about? Less than 10% talked about beating Trump or impeaching Trump as being an important issue. But when we put defeating Trump in a list of issues, it becomes one of the top factors. So that tells me that there are a lot of people out there who, of course, they want to beat Trump, but they want their candidates to be talking about how to defeat Trump, an alternative to Trump.
Okay, Tito, you've been a candidate. So how does a candidate understand those mixed messages from listeners and voters?
A candidate needs to get their butt out in the streets and actually connect with people. And I think that's one of the things that we saw from the last election, where Hillary had, I heard, no events in August, right? So you need to actually be connecting with folks. And I think when it comes to this go-round, I think Mohammed, we might differ on some of the specifics, but
Mohammed, the caller from Worcester.
But we need some top-line messaging. And this is where oftentimes Republicans do a really good job at dumbing things down or actually totally twisting something that you may think is one thing and switching it over to the other side. I also think we have to acknowledge that 53% of white women voted for Trump last time, right? So that's going to be a very critical population. And what's pivotal in the last go round, and in particular in states like Pennsylvania, you're going to need to see Obama numbers coming out of places like Philly. And so I think it's really critical that when we think about the youth vote and folks getting excited, engaged, registering to vote. And the other piece is, as a Democrat, you can't get beat in energy. That's bad when folks aren't excited, engaged, and actually able to kind of connect with you in that space.
So, Anthony, you've been out on the campaign trail already. Are you seeing engagement and energy? Are people showing up at events? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, so most of my attention has been spent up in New Hampshire for obvious reasons, because that's sort of our backyard. It's the first in the nation primary, and all the candidates are coming through there. And I've been struck, by a lot of energy, and you've seen it grow, too. I mean, you know, you can go up to a campaign event on a Tuesday morning in the middle of July, and somehow there are 400 people showing up to hear a candidate. And if you look at someone who's ahead in the polls, like Elizabeth Warren, her events are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more a lot more energy. Same with Bernie Sanders and a bunch of the other candidates as well. So, yes, I think there's a ton of energy out there. And I think the energy for now is coming from the Democrats, because there is a lot of concern about the man in the White House and a lot of desire to find a candidate who can beat him in 2020.
So, Tito, one of our callers, Jack, said, you know, these are not ordinary times. And one of the things that made me think of was, so you go back to 2016, you go to the exit polls after voters have voted. They come out. You ask, we asked them, you know, what they cared about. And 52% said the economy, which is still one of the top on the
right.
list. But only 13% said immigration. And 18% actually said terrorism, which really no one's talking about now. So what has caused these big shifts? You know, 13% immigration then, and now it's on the top of the list.
You have absolute gaslighting that comes out of the White House on a regular basis. And I'll say, interesting, when I ran for mayor of the city of Boston, every single week there was a crisis. And beginning with the Muslim ban. And we were at, I don't know if you were at the airport with us, and just seeing the angst that came out of that. And so I think Donald Trump uses his reality show background to actually manipulate reality. And so what you essentially have happening is that his messaging and his policies, turning up the heat every single time. Last week we're dealing with immigrants who have a medical issue. And you're saying, well, throw those folks out, too. Characterizations of Bohemians as well as Puerto Ricans who are U.S. citizens. These pronouncements and this, again, these artificial crisis points that he actually creates really does begin to affect the reality, which is a very, very sad reality. And that's why Democrats do need to figure out messaging that is going to drive people, engage people, and also pull those individuals who are in the middle. Because this, let's be very honest, there's a 20% group in the middle that we're really vying for to win this.
So, Anthony, I was just going to add,
I agree with Tito, but I would just add, I think Trump is sort of smarter in a way to use immigration. I mean, cynical, but smart, because immigration in a way has sort of stood in for a lot of issues that has left a lot of Americans feeling cut out and not sort of partaking in the political system. So Trump is able to sort of manufacture this immigration crisis, which appeals to a lot of folks who are feeling left out and who suddenly feel like, oh, okay, we've got a target. You know, we've got a way to target our frustration and our sense of being left out of this political system. And I think that's one of the reasons why immigration has become a top issue among so many voters, because Trump has manufactured structured it for reasons that are real.
All right. I am looking forward to continuing this conversation. For now, Anthony Brooks, WBUR senior political reporter. Thanks for being with us.
Sure. My pleasure.
And Tito Jackson, he's the CEO of Verdant Medical, a cannabis company. He's a former Boston city councilor, and you ran for mayor in 2017. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you,
Tito,
so much for having me.
I appreciate it. So listen, stay with us. More ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.